This is a May Luna Media production.
You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real. Go deep and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Welcome back, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers, and Happy New Year. And I know what you're thinking, what? The New Year was in January. What could she be talking about? When am I listening to this? And you're checking your space and time continuum. You are in the right place, you are in the right time, and you are right on time because March is the real New Year. I recorded an entire podcast episode on this for you back in December titled January 1st is Not the New Year. So if you want to go back, get the full rundown of why I celebrate the new year in March, absolutely go for that. I get into April Fool's Day and how we became aligned with the Gregorian year and with January 1st as the new year. So that is a great episode. I'm not going to rehash too much of that, but I will give you just a short breakdown of what we're getting into today. But this is a real conversation about beginnings and endings and what they actually require. We are moving through a threshold right now in time, in space, in seasons. There's so much outside of us and within us that is resetting right now, and it is absolutely the time to begin. And January is definitely not the time to begin. And you might think, well, I'm so used to celebrating the new year in January. This feels kind of weird. I invite you to bring this into a new energy, to wrap your mind around something that could be better for you, more aligned with the seasons, more aligned with what's going on outside of your body so that your internal body can have a more cohesive experience with the world around you. March 20th, the spring equinox, is the moment that the sun crosses into Aries, and the astrological new year begins. But this is also the time that the earth wakes up and everything is blooming. And we are in this space of the tipping point of light. This is the brightest quarter of the year from March till June until we have the summer solstice and the height of the light of the whole year. Now again, this is for my Northern Hemisphere baddies. If you are in the Southern Hemisphere, you will be experiencing this in September. Right now, you are just coming out of summer. You're going into fall. You are shedding. You are releasing. We are operating on different clocks, on different timelines. And something that I get a lot when I talk about this publicly is a lot of backlash and like, well, you're not including the Southern Hemisphere, so like, why would March be the new year when they're going into the fall? Like, no shit, Sherlock. I'm not talking about the world as a whole. We have never existed on a global plane before like we do now in the past few hundred years. We operated separately. We had different timelines. We had different schedules. We had different new years. And I'm not talking about the Southern Hemisphere right now. For us in the Northern Hemisphere, where the majority of you are anyways, we are experiencing spring. It is March. If you are listening to this in the Southern Hemisphere, hey, I'm so happy my voice has reached down there, down under, and obviously not just Australia, all of South America. But you are going into fall, and this is relevant for you in 6 months. So come back, save this, bookmark it, put it somewhere that you're going to come back to, and give this a listen in September, because that is the energy that you are going into. And this isn't March specific. This is just where I am right now locally. So it's Northern Hemisphere specific, but I really want to drive this point home because so many people get upset that I'm not being inclusive. I'm just like, you're missing the whole point. So clearly, I have a lot of feelings about this one because this one is personal. And what we are getting into is ancient. This has been celebrated by every civilization, every ancient civilization that has tracked time, the Persians, the Celts, the Babylonians, the Mayans, the Egyptians, everywhere. marked the new year around the spring equinox, or the solstice. We didn't make this up. We're remembering this. We have been told that the new year begins in the dead of winter so that we become disconnected from our true power, from what it is that aligns us with the world around. Because we are nature, and nature doesn't do new in January. In January, the ground is frozen, seeds are dormant, everything that's alive is conserving energy underground. The roots are growing. This is the point of winter. The growth that is not visible on the surface, it is happening, but it's not a beginning. It's the deepest part of waiting. So while the equinox is equal parts of light and dark, this is also simultaneously ushering us into the brightest quarter of the year. And then the light wins. The light wins for the next 3 months. And this is literally what is happening in the sky. The days are getting longer, the ground is thawing, things that were dormant start pushing through. And this is also relevant to what is going on in your life. Your ideas start thawing. Your creativity starts blooming. And all of this dormant energy that you were still sloughing off from the previous year, that you were still feeling your way through the endings of the previous timeline, you are now moving into something where you can see the growth that you've been doing since literally September, since the light really started waning and you were truly in this moment of shedding. And after March 20th, which is when the solstice or the equinox happens, all planets are direct until May 6th. That is the longest stretch of forward momentum that we're going to have all of 2026. The runway is clear. Your ideas are bursting. You have so much Aries energy. If you want to hear about the astrology that's going on, go back and listen to the Mercury retrograde episode from last week. I get deep into all of this Aries energy that we're diving into, including what that means for Mercury retrograde, which will be in for the next couple weeks. But this clear pathway of all planets direct until May 6th is major, major action, major planning, major set the stage and make a plan and set the structure for what it is that you want to create, because this is a true beginning. This is really what a beginning requires, is a plan, is execution, is consistency, is clarity and knowing where you're going. Because the part of new beginnings that nobody talks about is that it's a simultaneous ending. We talk about new beginnings like they're just some addition, something to start, something new, something exciting. And yes, that's so true. You add new habits, new goals, new energy. But real beginnings are also subtractions. Something has to end for something to begin. And whether you're consciously going through this or not, I mean, this is also why we have spring cleaning. We open up the windows, we open up the doors, we get all of the dust out of the house. That time of being in a hermit mode, of creating this nest of winter, ends. And the equinox doesn't just bring more light, it's bringing this requirement of acknowledging what has ended. And when you operate in the way of acknowledging what has ended while you're calling in new beginnings, it's the same as honoring how far you've come. So rather than just move from victory to victory and high point to high point, really looking back and be like, okay, damn, yeah, this is dope. And this time last year, I was doing something totally different. I was a totally different person. I was in a different mindset. And look how far I've come. Look how far I've come in the past 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. It's really important to look back. And in a point like this, where we have this threshold from a huge ending and we're in Pisces season, which is the end of the astrological year, and it's really dreamy and deep and watery and sometimes really hard to navigate, it's a really beautiful time to honor what has ended and to do this shadow work that it doesn't have to be continuous, but it's something that is really prevalent and really potent and relevant to do right now. And you know me, I love shadow work. I love diving into the darkness, but I don't want to live there. I don't want to do shadow work all the time. I don't want to always rehash the past. That is not healthy. It is not okay to always be doing shadow work. And even though I'm writing a book on it and I made a podcast on it and it is literally the crux of my entire career, that doesn't mean that I'm doing it all the time. That doesn't mean that I want you to continuously be living in your trauma, in your past, in the darkness that has shattered you. I want you to look at it. Yes. I invite you to see the beauty and the gifts and the lessons that the darkness has brought you. Absolutely. But do I want you to change your address to the deep, deep, dark underworld? No. I want you to live in the light. Love, light, and black holes. It's duality. It's everything. It's coming together. And what you're carrying into this new year needs to be decided, because you're shifting weight. You're replacing what you're carrying with you now, and you are removing something to make space for that. And I've mentioned this on this podcast before. I definitely mention it in many of my classes, especially this time of year, especially with a threshold energy. Imagine yourself walking through a screen door. Everything that you do not want to carry with you gets filtered out. You are essentially filtering, straining, leaving, releasing everything that you don't want to carry with you. And as you look back, it just falls to the floor and turns to ash and dust, and it is instantly alchemized. It doesn't hold space. It's not a marker. It is just done. You are letting it go. And that is so beautiful. And genuinely, honestly, saying this is no longer mine to carry, and I don't want to bring it into this new year. So what is that for you? Old identities, old stories, old relationships with yourself that were built around a version of you that has been gone for a while, habits, mindsets, beliefs. What is it that you really don't want to bring with you? For me, it's fear. Last year at this time, after losing my dad, I had only been 3 months into life without him, and I was fearless. Watching him die and knowing the finality of that and being face to face with the end and what you don't take with you and what doesn't fucking matter made me fearless. And I had this wild liminal space that I was living in. I was psychic. I was also microdosing psychedelics, which we're going to get into next week. And I'm so excited for this episode. But I was in this creative, liminal, connected space where I was holding grief that made me so incredibly raw and open that I dropped all fear. And then a year goes by, go back into normal shit, normal work, normal life, deadlines, structure, projects, a book, all of the things, and I pick up all of these other little fears. And so I am back in this same space reflecting on where I was this time last year. Not only because of the new year, but because that time was so potent, because I will forever remember that as being something that changed me, something that showed me what was possible that I had never had access to before. So while I'm reflecting on this, I'm like, damn, that bitch was fearless. She did not give a shit. She did not want to be doing what she was doing. She stopped doing a lot of the things that she didn't want to do. She stood up for herself. She advocated for herself. She was healing her body. She was meditating daily. She was in this fucking vortex of energy and power and clarity and direction and action. And then, like I said, grief was raw and I dove into it in the darkness and it swept me away for a while and I was just floating down the river and I saw the waterfall coming and part of me was like, fuck it, let's send it over the edge and see what happens. The other part of me was like, girl, get to the side of the river right now and get out and walk on earth instead of floating down this river and just letting life happen to you. That might not be your perspective if you've been watching me navigate life this past year, especially with all of the things that I've created, like this podcast, and I got a book deal, and like so many things are going my way, and it's so beautiful, but my internal world was seriously struggling, and it's grief, you know? So the shadow work of a new beginning is the grief of an ending. And I was grieving my dad ending, but I was also having this new beginning of connection and clarity. And we're so culturally trained to rush towards the fresh start that we skip the grief of what it took to get here. We skip the process, the journey. we think about the destination and we just want to get to the end. And like for me writing this book right now, everyone's asking like, oh, are you using ChatGPT? Are you using AI? Well, A of all, I deleted and stopped my membership with ChatGPT because they now have a contract with the Department of War and fuck that shit. And they're doing surveillance and all of the things that I don't agree with. And so I've moved to Claude, which is great. But no, I'm not using AI to write this book because the point is to write the book, right? I've been writing this book in my head for 5 years and I want the journey. It's not about, it's not just about having the book in my hand, seeing it on shelves, seeing it in your hand, hearing what you feel about it and what comes up for you as you read it. It's about who I become while I write it. Very selfishly. Yes, I hope you love this book. Yes, I know it's going to change the world. I have gotten such great feedback from my publisher and my editor already, but it's for me and it is so cathartic in a way. And it's not just a memoir full of stories. It's so much of my process. It's so much of what I do to get to this point and how I navigate shadow work daily. But the point isn't to have the book done. For me, the point is to write it because I am a writer. So think about your journey. Think about what it took to get you here and how that feels and what that looked like and all of the things that happened along the way. And like I said, how far you've come. Because as we're moving into Aries, this is fire and initiation, and that's backed by the fire horse. And we have tons of energy in Aries this year. It's go, go, go. But Aries without intention is just motion. It's chaos. It has no clue where it's going. It just needs to go. It's like ADHD. It's going somewhere and it's doing something. It doesn't know what or why, but it's going at speed without direction. So what are you building and why? And what did you have to lose to arrive at this beginning? Because we've talked about this a lot. Last year was the year of the snake, of shedding, of letting go. So what is it that you are creating space for or with? And what is replacing that? This is my new year in a lot of ways. I'm turning 40 on May 10th, which is very exciting. And it feels like the beginning of an era, a new era. I really feel in my bones that so many of the cycles and patterns and things that I've been living through have ended. Like I just don't feel the energy that I used to anymore. And now that I have named that I'm not bringing fear into this next step with me, it has totally shifted how I think about this new year and how to actually use this energy, because this is truly a threshold. And the magic of a threshold is that you get to step into something totally new and do something that you've never done before. Because what you're stepping into, psychologists call it the fresh start effect. And this is the phenomenon where people are significantly more likely to pursue goals and make changes immediately following temporal landmarks. New Year's, birthdays, the start of a new week, even a Monday after a holiday, you just feel refreshed. It's like you had a reset button somewhere along the way. And the date itself doesn't change anything externally, but it changes something in how we relate to our own identity and history. And the mechanism temporal landmarks create is psychological distance between your past self and your present self. So you're in this liminal space. You're in this in-between. You're not here, you're not there. Britney Spears, I'm not a girl, I'm not yet a woman. But this landmark lets you mentally close a chapter. So you're putting the failures, the stuckness, the version of you that didn't follow through on the other side of a line. And then you step forward as someone slightly new. You make a decision to do something different, change your energy, change your life. And this is why rituals work. Not because you're lighting a candle or writing in a journal is magic, and obviously it is. But it's the symbolic act that tells your nervous system that something is different now. You've shifted. You've like clicked into a new direction. From one train track to the other, you are totally on a different track. And you're using the physical world to signal that shift. to the part of your brain that runs on pattern recognition. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but you are interrupting the pattern. The brain is a pattern recognition machine. This is why it keeps you safe and small and in familiar environments, even though they may be toxic and killing you and awful and stealing your light and keeping you away from everything that you want because it's familiar. It recognizes the familiar pattern of where you are. So it doesn't want to interrupt that pattern. You have to do that. You have to do that not once. It's not a one and done. You have to continuously choose to do that every day. Waking up on a different side of the bed, even brushing your teeth with your other hand. If you go on walks, going in a different direction, driving to the grocery store in a different way. Like the ways that you are so set in your path, and I am saying this to me as much as I'm saying it to you because I'm a creature of habit and I will take the same path everywhere I go all the time, even if it's not the fastest. It's just what I know. It's what I like. I would eat the same thing every day if my husband would let me and would also enjoy that. But I need to interrupt my habits because they end up doing me a disservice. What I think in the beginning is like a nice structure and something to follow and something that makes me feel good ends up doing the opposite. It becomes toxic. It becomes crushing. It becomes really limiting. So I have to like upend everything, totally redesign my structure for the day and change everything, or else I will get stuck in this well-worn path and this rut, this wagon wheel in a muddy road that is so easy to fall back into. And getting out of it is scary because you think, well, if I get out of this well-worn rut, my wheel might break. I might hit a rock, or what's going to happen? It's that unknown that keeps your brain choosing the familiar. Again, even if the familiar is bad. So interrupt this pattern with this time. You have the opportunity of the new year to do it. And the equinox is an especially potent landmark because it's astronomical, it's seasonal, it's biological. There are so many things aligned with this actually beginning, with this being a true beginning. Because seriously, fuck January. I've said this a million times and I'll say it until I die. This is my Roman Empire. This is the hill I will die on. January 1st is not the beginning of anything except soup season. Put on a new series, start a new book, start a pot of soup, open up a pack of socks. Like, that is the only thing I'm going to start in January. Your body is already responding to what is happening in spring. It has been for the past couple weeks. As the days have been getting longer, it's been getting maybe warmer, hopefully, where you are, unless you're on the East Coast and you're in Snowmageddon for the past, like, forever. But the groundhog did see his shadow, so I guess that's right on point. But it's more light, it's the shifting in temperature, it's something in your circadian rhythm that has been dormant, that's starting to wake up. It's not just a new beginning that we've put on a calendar. Your cells know that this is truly a beginning. They have gotten the memo. They are responding to what's going on around you because you are nature. And the fresh start effect only works fully if you actually close the previous chapter. That psychological distance it creates has to be real, which means you have to actually reckon with what you're creating distance from. Skipping that part is why New Year, New Me in the middle of winter evaporates by February, because you didn't close anything and you're trying to start something after an exhausting holiday season. In the cold, in the darkness, that just doesn't stick. And then the worst part of all of this is that you set resolutions and then you disappoint yourself and you think that you're not worthy. You think that you're not good enough. You think that you're not disciplined enough. You think that you're going to be whatever you don't want to be forever because you set this resolution in January and it's a moot point. It's just working against you. And that is what I hate most about this, is that it makes people feel bad about themselves. It makes them feel like there's something wrong with them, that they can't do something in the middle of January and hold it through June. Like, that's just not logical. It's not going to happen. So as you're moving into this new chapter, and as you are stepping into this fresh start, You can't get that fresh start if you're dragging everything from the last chapter into the new one and calling it a beginning. Get really honest with yourself and allow yourself to truly let go. And there's a few ways you can do this. You can name what you're leaving, not like a list of goals for the next year, a list of what belongs to last year. Those old identities, the old stories, the old relationships with yourself, the old beliefs, the old habits that you don't want to do, the people you don't want to bring with you. Write it all down. Say them aloud. Make the ending real before you ask it to be. Before you ask the beginning to start, set a gravestone for last year. And I love a self-death ceremony. We've talked about this on the podcast too, and I do this a lot in the coven, Way of the Witch, that is open right now if you want to join. The spring season starts April 1st for 3 months of spring magic and witchcraft and ritual and truly just transformation. But a self-death ceremony is where you write an obituary to an old part of yourself. Here lies the version of me who, and let it rip, all of the things that you used to do that you no longer are allowing, and it comes from love. The key here is that you're not like, man, fuck this, I hated who that was, I don't like this person that I was, like I hate being all of these things. No, you come from a place of love because that person got you here. And you have so much gratitude for what they endured, for the coping mechanisms that they created that you've outgrown that are now maybe becoming toxic, for all of the ways that they lived and survived so that you could thrive. It comes from love. So write that out. Write what you're leaving. Name it. Love it. Bury it. Burn it. Flush it. You know I love a good flush. And then find your one true north. And this is Aries energy all the way, because the psychology of effective goal setting is singular focus beats scattered intention every time. And we know that Aries cannot function on scattered intention, even though that's kind of its baseline. Aries is like, where are we going? What are we doing? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Just set me off. Just say go. Just say the word. I'm ready. But they have no clue where they're going. They need a GPS. You need a plan. You need a destination. And this is the same in psychology, effective goal setting. One singular focus, not a vision board of 20 things, one direction. The thing that if you move toward it, it's going to change everything else. So what's yours for this year? What's the one thing? It could even be an identity that you're moving into. I love, rather than choosing just one word for the new year, choosing an identity. And my identity for this year is someone who is audacious, someone who asks to be in the room, who asks for what I want, who doesn't care about getting rejected, who doesn't care about someone saying no. Like, at least I've asked. And you will be surprised how much you will get just because you asked. I noticed this in the first company that I started in 2017. It was nothing. It was little. We started it from the pebbles up, literally, and built this beautiful empire in a very short time. And then, of course, it crumbled as it was supposed to, very, very unfortunately. But if you've been there since then, if you've been here with me since then, hey, thank you. But you know that what happened there was incredible because we asked. Be audacious. Choose one thing, choose one word, and just go for it. Don't care what's going to happen. Don't worry yourself about what might be, because this is so much more important than the potential no. And who fucking cares if someone says no to you? You make your own rules anyways. And do something that marks this threshold physically. Your nervous system responds to symbolic acts. I love a ritual. Obviously, I've been leading a coven of rituals for the past 3 years, 14 seasons. You can light something, a candle, a bonfire, whatever. Your paper that you're writing down of all of the things that you're not going to bring in, your obituary for yourself. You can plant something. You can say an incantation. You can invoke something. Just say aloud what you want. I also love putting a stick or a string or something on the ground and like physically stepping over it. calling this the new year, this line, and then stepping over it so that I feel like this is really me stepping into something new. And this is ancient times. This goes back to millennia ago, where people would step over something, they would jump over the fire. There was a threshold, an initiation, if you will, of going into something else. So stop waiting until you're ready, because you're never going to be ready. They're ready is a lie. You're waiting for something that is never going to come, and you are expecting to be comfortable when you're meant to be uncomfortable. You're meant to start things and feel uncomfortable and scared and not ready. Because whatever you've been keeping in draft mode, this is the moment to unleash it. And who cares what happens? Who cares what anyone thinks, what anyone says? This is for you. Do the thing, put it out there, allow this to be the true beginning, because you've made it through the winter, you made it through the clearing, you made it through all of last year, which was super, super shedding. And this is exactly what you've been preparing for. This fog is lifting. Retrograde is coming to an end. Eclipse season was wild, but we're through it. And with this all planets direct energy until May 6th, ooh, woo! I know you are going to use that. I know you are going to put it to good use. I know you are going to step into the power that you have been craving to unleash. This is the time. This is your door. This is your threshold. March 20th is the real new year in the Northern Hemisphere, y'all. So happy new year. Let's actually begin this beautiful, beautiful parade and allow this to be something fresh and brand new. And if you were wondering, well, what are my shadows? What do I need to leave behind? What has gotten in the way and is keeping me back? I have created something just for you to tell you exactly what your shadow is, without guessing, without digging through childhood trauma, without going through all of the things of your past. It is where your Chiron placement is, house and sign. It's linked down below in the show notes. And it gives you an instant report of exactly what your shadow is that you've been carrying around since birth. And then it tells you how to work with it, how to turn that into gold, how to use that as your greatest fuel, your biggest power, the root system of what you build everything on. This is your foundation, how you turn this, how you alchemize this into something that you can use rather than something that you're getting used by. Because as long as you allow shadows to lurk in the darkness and pretend like they're not there, they are stealing your power. They are 100% dimming your light, and they are keeping you away from going to the places that you want to go, from being who you want to be, from attracting what you want to attract. So grab your free report down below. I am getting the craziest feedback on this. Everyone says it's so accurate. It's eerie. I agree. Mine was nuts. So go run your report, see exactly what you need to leave behind this new year, and I'll see you on the other side. Happy New Year. Love, light, and black holes. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song, and watch the whole universe light up.